Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Howdy, third hour, Teke and Tierney coming to you live from the Teke and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studio here in New York City. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to help provide a seamless mortgage experience. So as you blast out of work, we got you. Just crank us up. We'll make some picks for you. Coming up next segment, our six-pack of picks where Teke and I both, research has been done. Picks are in, graphics built, where we give you three college and three pro against the spread, obviously. And if you were listening yesterday, we already gave you an early winner for free. We both picked the Packers getting the 3 points they won outright. So before we get back to the NFL and hit all the games, bounce around all the different storylines, college football, a few interesting storylines.
Let me ask you real quick. Was it harder for you to pick the, this is for our six-pack of picks, was it harder for you to pick the college games or the NFL games?
College. Which is interesting because, and I've said this for years, historically, week one of the NFL in terms of the betting backdrop, I always stress, go easy, because you don't know what's what.
You have no idea.
But I feel like I like my picks. We'll see. I mean, I don't know if I love them. I'm going to start crowing.
For me, college was so much harder. I feel like I have a pulse, a little bit of a pulse on what's happening in the National Football League, even if I'm going to be wildly wrong, because we basically saw nobody in the NFL preseason. And so, yes, we think Mitchell Trubisky is going to take the third year steps that an evolving quarterback is going to take. We think it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. Did it?
No.
No.
But that's why we picked the Packers.
Well, exactly.
But we didn't think it was going to happen that much.
But I easily could have argued the other way.
I hear you.
You know what I mean?
Most people loved the Bears last night.
NFL was hard, but I still feel like I have an opinion. College football is different because, especially with the way quarterbacks are moving around the world these days.
And the huge spreads.
Humongous
big
spreads.
Big,
and,
big
you know,
spreads,
one,
big numbers.
One that's interesting, the Clemson Texas A&M game is compelling for a lot of reasons. Now, last year, Clemson was unbelievable, almost from start to finish. It was one game that they really struggled against, and it was Texas A&M. Jimbo Fisher taking over that program. Kelly Mond had a good day. You looked at, you know, on paper, Clemson's going to dominate this. They have one of the best D-lines in football. They have ultimately the guy who would become the ACC player of the year, and Travis Etienne, who was fantastic in week one for Clemson this year. Kelly Bryant was still the starting quarterback, but they were sprinkling in Trevor Lawrence. And so You watch that game, and it was like Clemson's going to dominate it, but they only won by 2 points. Now, fast forward, Clemson dominates the rest of the season. They, in blowout fashion, win the national championship game against Alabama. And coming into this year, all anyone wants to talk about is the repeat, right? They're going to repeat. Trevor Lawrence is going to win the Heisman Trophy, and if not, it's because Travis Etienne has taken votes away from him because he's probably a Heisman Trophy candidate as well. Clemson is going to be right back. Mm-hmm. This is the game, out of all of the ones that Clemson has left to play, that you have to worry about, because Texas A&M, who played them tight last year, the eventual national champion, you know Texas A&M at the end of the season, the Aggies were sitting around being, man, we almost beat them. Man, you know, we could have beat them. We could easily be right here. Right, that mentality is carrying over another year of Jimbo Fisher at the helm, and we know he can build winning programs. He's done it almost everywhere that he's gone. This is the game to watch this weekend, because Clemson, as great as they were last year, as good as Travis Etienne was last year, I don't think they're as good as they were last year, because Trevor Lawrence is known now. Right, we know who he is and what he does well and what he doesn't do well.
I would look more at the defensive line where they were a little weakened.
Lots of attrition.
Well, Trevor Lawrence, they had
three guys drafted in the first round. All three of those guys go in the first round. I know the Giants got one, the Raiders got one, and
one was in the second. Were they all three
in
the first?
Maybe, but whatever. They had three guys go in the first couple of rounds in the National Football League. Of course, they're going to be worse. And Texas A&M has some runners, and they have a scheme that can put pressure on a, on an interior that's not as dominant as it has been. So people are pushing this. Clemson, they're number one. They're going all in. I wouldn't be surprised if Texas A&M keeps this thing tight.
Be nice. By the way, they all three were first round picks. You were right.
Christian Wilkins to the Dolphins.
13th to the Dolphins. So, yeah, I'm surprised. Not that it's always about the spread. I'm a little surprised A&M's 17-point dogs. I mean, I think maybe be a little tighter than that. But really, you can summarize. Now, eventually, it's going to get different. And eventually, it's going to get real, real for all the conferences. But if you, you know, I have soccer tomorrow for the first time
with
the kids. You have soccer with the kids. You know, you obviously do some morning stuff. I got to do some writing for Tops, whatever. As I start getting into the meat of the college football day, as I kind of break away from the family for a little bit, you know, obviously A&M Clemson. You can really boil this down to three games tomorrow.
That's right.
The first game, LSU Texas.
Yep, which we talked about a little bit yesterday.
Yep, versus number 8 at 7:30. And then at 10:30, and this is more about pageantry and the symbolism, because, you know, Stanford versus USC, it's not like it like a vintage. First of all, USC is average.
Well, neither.
And Stanford's banged up, their quarterback.
USC's quarterback is out.
Well, USC's out for the season,
right,
but Stanford's quarterback's a little bit knocked up as well.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing.
They haven't decided that officially, unless I missed it in the last hour.
I mean, he was still in the concussion protocol yesterday.
Then he shouldn't play. No, I
you
hear
you. Know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just trying to be
factual
on that. I don't know.
I think you're right.
But 3:30, 7:30, 10:30 Eastern, three games you keep an eye on, you go from there. You wake up, it's Sunday, it's football, let's go,
you're
NFL.
Right. You're right. College football, I think this year will be more unpredictable than it was last year. But last year, you know, was an anomaly in a sense. Clemson was undefeated and was a national champion. But in the college football playoff era that we're in right now, they're the only one. Think of the Alabamas and Ohio States and that have won. Clemson even before that have won national championship. All of those teams had one loss. Last year was the first time we had an undefeated national champion in Clemson, and it felt kind of foregone after Trevor Lawrence took over and started dominating, and you know their defense was stout and you know on par with what Alabama regularly puts out there. This year, I think there's going to be a little bit of turmoil, and teams that we think are supposed to be dominant aren't going to be that way. Ohio State's won. I mean, Justin Fields looked okay.
Notre Dame's a top 10 team. They let Louisville hang around the whole game.
I agree. I mean, that first quarter, I thought Louisville was going to win the game.
No, first series, I thought Notre Dame was going to win by 50. They scored a touchdown on the first series. It took them five plays. Boom, 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 boom,
boom. Jawan Pass, the quarterback for Louisville, he just doing whatever he wanted.
It was tough at the 14, I think, at one point.
Mostly with his legs. Mm-hmm. But then, obviously, they settled in, and it was the first game of the season. They settled in and won, you know, rather convincingly. But you're right. The NCAA in college football is at a point that I think it's more compelling this year because I think there's going to be upsets. And some of that reflected – May not reflect itself this week, but I think it might happen as the season goes on.
Well, let me ask you this. Do you direct those upsets towards a specific conference? I know it was pretty easy to say, well, last week, the SEC, looked so hard.
No, I think it's...
Are we just going in totality?
No, it's just looking at the top end.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like it's a foregone conclusion. Again, I'll use that word because it's going to be Alabama. It's going to be Clemson. It's going to be Ohio State. It's going to be Michigan.
Well, I don't know about Ohio State. I don't know about Ohio State. I'm sorry.
But they're right there. I mean, what are they, four? They're fourth right now?
No, but I'm saying, we had A.J. Hawk on the show yesterday, and A.J. didn't want to hear it, but they wound up winning. They ran away from Florida Atlantic. But they were they were up 28-0 in the first quarter. And then, I know, every Buckeye fan, we put in our ninth stringers. Okay, great. For the next three quarters, Florida Atlantic outscored you 21-17.
Right.
Now, a little anomaly, a little indifference, a little whatever, maybe a little bit of everything. But I don't know that that's an encouraging sign. Like, look at that. You look at the top 10 teams. I love LSU, all right? I really do this year. I think they're different. Yep. They're going to score more
running
easily.
Running a different offensive scheme. They finally look modern.
They do. That's a good way to position that. But I don't know if Michigan is going to really answer the bell. I'm a little lukewarm on the Buckeyes for a couple of different reasons. I'm a little lukewarm on the Irish. They're a top 10 team.
Right.
I mean, you could identify five or six top 10 teams that are a little potentially topsy-turvy. Yeah. I feel like all those teams are going to lose a game.
But I love that.
That we'd be surprised at.
But I love that.
But do you? I mean, you
I do. I do.
I don't know. I go ahead. Tell me what.
Because I don't like in college sports. It's different in the NFL because I'm watching greatness. You know what I mean? When I'm watching Tom Brady, I don't mind their continued success.
Dominance.
I don't mind it because we're watching greatness. I can say 20 years from now. I mean, I was watching the Patriots when, you know, they figured it out, or they, whatever, they had it better than anybody else. And Tom Brady was the best player I've ever seen. And this is why Bill Belichick did X, Y, Z. But in college, I like the diversity.
You like parody?
Not parody, but I like diversity at the top. I want to see those teams like Michigan.
Isn't that a fancy way of saying parody? Diversity.
No, because
at the top?
Parody would mean that Virginia on a great year would find a way to be in the top 15 or in the
you
top
mean every
10.
Year, like an interchangeable power.
Yes.
Not that there's 30 teams that could win, but
exactly.
It's not always the same three.
It's
or
not
four.
Always
right,
Clemson,
I can get on board with that.
Alabama,
I got you.
Whoever the third one is we want to throw in right now.
Yeah.
Well, Oklahoma, because Lincoln Riley keeps putting out Heisman Trophy winners.
Okay.
And so
I hear you on that.
I want like Michigan to find their way to get there, or I don't know, some other story. Penn State, it doesn't matter, or a group of five like UCF
or Boise State.
Boise State
tonight,
and I think they're in your six pack of picks.
They're not actually.
Really?
I don't know. I can't tell you. Who do I have? Nope. I'll tell you what I do have.
I know you have a Friday night special.
I got a Friday night special. Remember, was it last year or 2 years ago when I ripped off 9 in a row? It was 2 years ago.
I think it was 2 years ago.
And I started getting a little cocky. And then you keep going to the same trend. Eventually, you're going to get bitten in gambling. But 9 in a row. 8 or 9 Friday night specials in a row. Let me ask you this. We'll get to our picks coming up here on Tiki and Tierney. Do you feel the same way in college hoops?
Yeah, a little bit.
Because it's such a different presentation in the NCAA tournament.
I still do. Like, I mean, look, I'm biased. I wanted Virginia to win.
Well, that
and
goes
I picked
without
them.
Saying, of course.
But I think it was a cool story.
It was.
Even if you weren't.
Well, take it from me. I didn't go to Virginia.
Exactly. Even,
it was
if
a great
you,
story.
Even if you weren't a Virginia fan,
yeah.
And you hated this, you know, the way that we carry ourselves, but whatever.
No, I've never heard that from anybody.
It was a cool story. Right? And so I like when good programs that are just outside of the elite find a way to play in the elite space.
Okay.
You know, this manifested itself directly.
Like Butler a couple of years ago when they went to some NCAA
exactly.
tour, the Final Four,
so
stuff
I was,
like that.
I told you I went. I went back after our show left.
Yeah,
we were at the Final
show
Four
with Dana. With Barkley and Dana.
Exactly. So when I was there, Kenny Smith was giving me crap.
Of course he is. He's an ACC guy.
Well, he's an ACC guy. There's only two ACC teams that have won national championships.
Mm-hmm.
And so he's like, don't talk to me. I don't care what you guys are doing. You guys aren't in the club.
No. Small club.
Virginia's been very good,
but
they're not in the club.
No, they're not.
Right? Now we're in the club.
That's right.
Right? So it's kind of cool.
Now Kenny will come out with some other criteria.
But
you only have one.
Exactly.
But you're not in the real club.
And so there's teams that are really good, have good programs, good coaches that are just below the surface of that elite.
That blue blood threshold.
Exactly.
The Kentuckys,
and so to
Kansas.
See them jump into it,
mm-hmm.
both in college football and in college basketball, I enjoy. Because it makes it different. I don't want to see... You know, as much as it is probably likely going to happen, I don't want to see Alabama and Clemson play again in the college football playoff or in the final. So we'll see.
I would agree. I think most people probably get on board with that. I do. The only, if you want like one dissenting voice, there is something to be said for the perennial power, whether it's Duke in hoops or Carolina in hoops or Kansas is tough to hate, but Kansas or UCLA back in the day, certainly with Lou Alcindor. Or whatever college football program you want to insert based on the decade and the generation, there's something to be said for a seemingly like impenetrable power being challenged
and getting and trying to get knocked off.
When suddenly one of those like those titans are embroiled in a game where you don't know the outcome, that's as good as it gets. I mean, that's as good as it gets. But I do agree with what you said. All right. I also agree I'm going to beat you in picks again this year for the 8th straight year. I'm going to beat Tiki in picks again. We're going to make our picks, 6-pack of picks, 3 college, 3 pro. We'll get some calls as well before we get out of here. Week 1, the NFL, some college football thoughts, 855-212-4227. Time to make those picks. Coming up next, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Okay, time to make some picks. First up, though, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Just go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. You know what's funny? We're going to get to our picks right here. Our first installment of our week 1 6-pack of picks. 3 college, 3 pro. And you and I have done this since the inception of the show back in early 2013, January 2nd. And if you actually listened, from my point of view, as gambling became more and more legal, the verbiage that I actually started to drop, like, because I know it was more socially acceptable, is hysterical. Funny. I mean, I would kind of work around things, and if you really played, you caught it. But now it's full bore.
Now you don't even care.
No, we dive face first into the gambling pool. So, three college, three pros, could be any conference, could be whatever, could be over-unders, could be total, which is over, it could be side. So, you could get creative, obviously be smart. As much as we research these, as much as we believe in these picks, it's still gambling. So, let's make you some money. Let's get you some winners. Week one, let's hit it.
Before I ever ran a casino or got myself blown up, Ace Rothstein was a hell of a handicapper. I can tell you that. I was so good that whenever I bet, I could change the odds for every bookmaker in the country. I'm serious. I had it down so cold that I was given paradise on earth.
Forget about Vegas and your buddy Joey. We got your winners right here. It's Tiki and Danny's six-pack of picks.
I absolutely love this. By the way, did a little math. So Santa was able to retrieve, going back to 2014, 51%, this against the spread, obviously, 51%, 56%, 54%, 56%, 48-point-something%, rounded up 49% last year for me. So 17 weeks, 6 picks a week equals 102 picks a year, 102 yearly picks times 5. Over the course of 510 picks against the spread, 53.2%. So we're doing okay for you here on the show. Let's get it. Friday night special, first up. Wake Forest, minus 19.5 points. A lot of wood to lay against Rice. That's at Rice, by the way. Rice actually hung around against Army a little bit. I took Army and I lost that, admittedly. Hung around with Army. But that's also the kind of game you could prep all summer for.
Yeah.
Rice knows they're opening with Army. Army runs a unique style. Let me focus on that. Same with Air Force and the other academies. And Rice was ready to play to their credit. Wake Forest is infinitely better than Rice, and I think this is a beat-down city. Wake is 1-0. Rice lost the game against West Point. Here's how I know Wake is actually coming along a little bit here, for sure. Now, they beat Utah State in week one. Utah State's a bowl team, perennially. Right. 38-35, they scored some points, right? Utah State last year, their only losses were week one against Michigan State, and they lost to Boise State in the bowl game. So the team that Wake beat in week one this year, last year, was 11-2. And their only losses were, quote-unquote, good losses. I'll take Wake tonight, Friday night special, and I'll lay the nearly 20 points. Give me the Demon Deeks laying 19 and a hook. Up next, number two. I love this. It'll be fun. A little Colorado, Nebraska. I'm going for a game that's got a little nationwide interest here. Colorado's plus 4. They host Nebraska. This is in Colorado. So, Colorado's 1-0. Nebraska's 1-0. Didn't like what I saw from Nebraska. Got to be honest with you, for Scott Frost. Four-quarter game. They led 28-21 in the fourth quarter. Not pretty. This game opened, by the way, at 4.5. Nebraska was favored. It's since been bet down almost a full point. So you could actually get a 3.5 in some spot. I got it at 4 here. Colorado plus 4. They beat Colorado State handily. They scored 50-plus points. So it's a 3:30 kick. I like Colorado. I would take them on the money line. I believe they'll win this game, but if you're not sure, if you don't share that conviction, take Colorado and lay the 4 points. You go from there. Up next, Arkansas State. What? Oh, we're going into the weeds. You gotta look for winners, Teak. Arkansas State plus 1.5 points at UNLV. Now, the Running Rebels, it's not a good program, and it hasn't been for a long time. 56-33, they did beat Southern Utah last week, so they got to win. Arkansas State lost, but they lost against, at least a much more competitive SMU team. They lost 37-30, and they lost the game, all right, by a touchdown. They gave up a 98-yard kickoff return. Shouldn't happen again. I mean, you would think, unless their special teams is horrendous, and I guess anything's possible. And they had 3 turnovers as well, and they still almost beat Southern SMU. So I'm going to take Arkansas State plus 1.5. NFL. Not going to really overthink this. Sometimes you got to go with your gut. I've been saying all summer, I'm not feeling the Panthers. I picked them to finish last in the South. A lot of people disagree with that. Actually, I had the Bucs in front of them. I know the Rams travel well. I'm not too worried about that 3,000-mile journey from west to east, whatever. You got Cooper Kupp back, healthy, safety valve. He'll get the sticks moving. I think Todd Gurley is very healthy, and I don't know how long it's going to last, but right now Todd Gurley is healthy, and Todd Gurley's ready to eat. it's inside of a field goal. Rams should be a 12 or 13 win team. I don't think Carolina's that kind of a team. McCaffrey aside, I'll take the Rams. I'll lay the 2.5 points on the road, and I'll go from there. Give me the LA Rams. Up next, the Jets and the Bills. You see that? Two arrows going toward the sky. Both of these teams are coming. Probably a year away. Jets absolutely have their quarterback in Sam Darnold going to be a star. And Josh Allen, he's interesting. Plus, they got some weapons. They're well coached, good culture up there in Buffalo. I got a lot of respect for the Bills this year and the last couple. I'm not going to touch, although I do think the Jets will win. I'm going to go with the over in this game. It's relatively low. Weather's going to be decent in New Jersey. The over is 40.5. I like the over. Jets and Bills, you know, I could see 27, 23, 30, 27, 24, 21. Something fun, something tight. Give me the over in the Jets and the Bills game. And finally, the Ravens. Now this is where you cherry pick the team that you think is the worst in the NFL. That's the Dolphins. I mean, I think everybody thinks that. This has actually gone from 7 points to 6.5. So people are actually oddly betting Miami. I'm not sure why. The disparity in talent, and plus now I think a broken spirit on the part of the Dolphins, given the trades, I don't think Miami's ready to roll. I think the Ravens could run up 300 on the ground. I don't think Ryan Fitzpatrick really touches the ball much because the Ravens' offense just runs it down their throat. I got the Ravens probably in a big-time route. I'll lay the 6.5. Here it is again. It's Friday night special tonight. Give me Wake minus 19.5. I'll take Colorado plus 4 as they host Nebraska. How about Arkansas State plus 1.5 at UNLV? That's a late game, East Coast, Saturday night. All right, NFL, Rams minus 2.5. They will beat the Panthers straight up. Jets and the Bills over 40.5. And give you the Ravens to smack around what should be a hapless Dolphins team. Lay the 6.5. T, good luck. Have a great season, buddy.
All right, the University of Louisiana Monroe is traveling to Tallahassee to take on the Florida State Seminoles. Now, Florida State's coming off that bad loss to Boise State, and the line here is minus 22 for Florida State. But Willie Taggart is going to have these guys ready and upset, and you know that these players who are significantly better athletes than the guys at University of Louisiana Monroe are going to take this seriously after what happened last weekend. More importantly, having played in Doak Campbell Stadium, it is hard to go there and play football the first time you've done it. So I think there's an intimidation here. Give me Florida State minus 22. UCF taking on FAU. Lane Kiffin trying to get his program back on order after getting blown out by Ohio State in week one. They did play some good defense, but this is going to be a game about the quarterbacks. Brandon Wimbush, who transferred from Notre Dame, is at UCF now. Chris Robeson, who is a junior, who is kind of still finding his way, is basically the matchup to watch here. Brandon Wimbush has a significant advantage. I like UCF minus 10.5, even though they're on the road at Florida Atlantic. Oregon State at Hawaii. This was an easy one to go over. Last week, Hawaii bested Arizona in a surprise upset, 45-38. They gave up a bunch of points. And Oregon State on the other side, even though they got kind of blistered by Oklahoma State, 53-36, they scored 36 points. I like this one to go over. This is run and shoot all over it. Hawaii hosting Oregon State. Give me the over 78.5 points. Going on to the National Football League, the Chiefs and the Jaguars. Chiefs are on the road here, but they have such an explosive offense. The Jaguars' defense is really good, and it has been for the last couple of years. They are missing Marcel Darius, who's going to be out for this game. I like the Chiefs to continue what they did, continuing to put up 35-plus points a game. And the Jaguars, even though better, mostly led by defense, aren't going to be able to keep up. Give me the Chiefs minus 3.5. Falcons visiting the Vikings. I like the Falcons here on the road. They're the underdog. And it seems natural for the Vikings because they have such a good defense to be the favorite here. But the Falcons were banged up last year, and they still played well. Offensively, they were on point. We know Julio Jones, after talking to JLC, our insider, is going to play in this game. He's likely to get a deal done, so he'll be invigorated. The Vikings might be without Stephon Diggs, who has a hamstring injury. I like the Falcons plus 4 on the road against the Vikings. And then lastly, the Redskins at the Eagles, a division game. Yes, the Eagles are better. Yes, they are competing for the postseason while the Redskins are still trying to figure out their quarterback situation. But I like Case Keenum as long as he game manages, as long as he's not trying to run away with a game and make throws that he can't make. And Darius Geis, who's likely to get most of the carries, I hope you picked them up in fantasy because Adrian Peterson might be inactive for this game. Darius Geis is a baller. Before he hurt his ACL last year, we saw some good things in the preseason. I expect them to keep this close. They're not going to win this game, but I like them plus 10 visiting the Eagles. So it's the Florida State Seminoles minus 22 hosting University of Louisiana Monroe. UCF minus 10.5 at FAU. Oregon State and Hawaii, give me the over 78.5 in the NFL. The Chiefs minus 3.5 visiting the Jaguars. The Falcons, a road dog. I like them plus 4 at the Vikings. And the Redskins on the road as well, getting 10 points against the Eagles. I like the Skins.
Good job, Teak. I heard some winners in there. Mike's going to get them up on social media, on Twitter at Teak and Tierney. We'll get those for you, so obviously be smart. You know, move with caution week one, certainly in the NFL. Nobody knows what's, I mean, listen, did you think Aaron Rodgers would score 10 points, even though the Bears defense is great? You just don't know. The conditioning's not great, so have fun. You know, I use the term, a lot of us like to get a little sweat going there. It just makes it a little more interesting. It is what it is, and you can't deny it. If you like to throw a little something down on the games, it's more fun when you have something on the game compared to when you don't, but be smart about it. Be smart. Do what you can do. Stick within your means, and obviously don't take it too seriously. Although, if you're going to listen to anybody, listen to us. We'll usually give you some wins there. All right, so we'll get that up on Twitter at Teaky and Tierney. So, Jay Berman's got the update, 855-212-4227. Some more calls, whether it's about the Antonio Brown situation, how the Raiders handle that, maybe some upsets, some different storylines going into week one around the NFL. We had some college stuff as well before. So, kind of open phones, which we like to do on a Friday to set us up into the weekend of football. We'll do it after Jay Berman's update, the blast as well. Jay's coming at you right now.
All right, we have a ton of stuff to squeeze in here. So, let's get to the, before we get to the blast, maybe squeeze in a few calls as well. Give you our thoughts on which player or team needs the quickest start this weekend around the NFL. Let's first answer our Ask the Pros question of the day. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Today's question, nothing we haven't talked about, but Jack in Mississippi queries, all right, guys, the Packers and Bears looked a little rusty last night. Zeke hasn't played all preseason, .. Has the NFL gone too far with how much players practice or play during training camp? Go ahead, Teague.
Yeah, I think it has. There's a familiarity that's missing with schemes and execution. You don't hit anymore. So these first couple of games basically become what the preseason should be. We talk all the time about, how do you make the preseason more valuable? You make it more valuable by making the games count a little bit more. I don't know how you do that, how that makes sense, but you got to do more than what you're currently doing.
I can't disagree. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts, all your car care needs. Guarantee low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every single day. Here on Teaky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network. We'll get to the blast here. As I said, also, I've got one, Teak's got one, the player or team that needs the quickest start to the beginning of the NFL season, just to kind of set the tone, maybe get some of the detractors away from them, kind of kill that negative energy or whatever it might be. We'll get to that, but first, let's blast. Here it is, guys. Go ahead.
So many topics, so little time. We give you 5 stories in 5 minutes, but don't take too long or you'll suffer the buzzer. It's time for the blast with Teaky and Tierney.
All right, we start with the Seattle Seahawks. Their rookie wide receiver, the monster specimen that is DK Metcalf, dubs himself Wolverine after a speedy recovery. We know he's jacked, but he's also a pretty quick healer. 3 weeks after a little arthroscopic procedure, he says he's 100%. Is it acceptable to give yourself a nickname?
No, it's not acceptable to give yourself a nickname, especially if it's this nickname. He's not Hugh Jackman. Now, maybe if he got up in a rookie, you know, the rookie hazing thing, and he's saying, you know, all the shows, all the tunes from The Greatest Showman, or he was a magician, like in The Prestige, then maybe you could give yourself the Wolverine nickname. But there's nobody like Hugh Jackman. Come on, DK.
Well, how about this? Who gave Kobe the Mamba nickname? Kobe dubbed himself the Mamba. That's when he came back with the tattoo. I'm not saying DK Metcalf is Kobe.
I would get crude, but I won't.
I hear you. Generally unacceptable to dub yourself anything. Yeah, I disagree. That's probably a pretty good rule to follow. But 3 weeks after surgery, if he plays, it's pretty beastly right there. It's pretty good. All right, the Rams will not have a pitch count for Todd Gurley this weekend, should they? No, I don't think that they should. Hey, listen, you know, this is going to sound callous, but this is just the nature of the NFL. I'm going forward, and if he's healthy going into a game on Sunday, then I'm not going to, you know, modify how I use him. Now, there could come a point in the season, so I don't run him to a nub.
Yep.
But other running backs have to consider this, not right. just, and they're all, I mean, the healthy ones too.
Right. Whether you have an arthritic knee Correct. Or not, you got to watch load management. Simply, I say this all the time, BT. Football is an atrocious sport. You get the crap beat out of you. And whoever is most viable, most healthy, come week 16, 17, if you're starting the same team at the beginning of the playoffs that you did at the beginning of the season, then your chances of success are significantly better. The only way you do that for positions like running back, if you watch it. So they may say that they're not going to have him on a pitch count, but in the back of their mind, the fact that they're saying it means that they will be cognizant of it.
All right, so we're going to face Greece and Giannis next.
Giannis.
In the hoops. Giannis. Does Giannis have a little something to prove here? Does he need a big game given the growing doubts?
Yeah, I think he does. I mean, Giannis is the MVP. He's got to on an international stage, shut people up, right? And I think, I don't know how, if he takes this as seriously as some of the other countries do. The United States, I mean, I can't tell what their level of seriousness is.
When 20 year. Guys bail, I don't think we took it too seriously.
I'm talking about
the guys who were there.
The guys
sure
are actually
they're committed. They're going hard.
I think.
Just don't think we're that good.
Maybe. That's it. But if I'm Giannis,
yep.
And that's actually the case, what you just said, BT, meaning the U.S. is not that good, dude, I'm going to town.
He's got nothing to prove. This is so stupid. I don't care if he shoots. Well, I mean, I'd like to see us win, so I guess in some level I do care, but I mean, if he goes 3-for-19, who cares? I mean, we're going to reference this during Shaq and Charles Barkley, the debate, poor shooting night by Giannis.
If the regular season starts and he's playing poorly, yes, they will. After the struggles against Toronto.
The MVP. 25 years old. Stop. All right, Liberty's Hugh Freeze to coach from a dental chair after coaching his first game from a hospital bed.
What?
This is getting bizarre. Do we credit his toughness, or is this a silly decision? I mean, I got to tell you, maybe a little bit of both, because I don't know exactly what his doctors are telling him. I don't know how much he's paying attention to what his doctors are saying, so I'll leave the door open to... Possibly, it's a little reckless for his health, but in terms of showing toughness and showing a commitment to the program, I mean, you got to give this guy monster props.
Yeah,
he's
and by the way,
when
I first heard this, I thought this was, I thought he was like in the hospital, in like
somehow on a remote.
They brought a hospital bed to the game. They played Syracuse. They got shut out 24-0. You know, Dino Babers destroyed him. So it was ineffective, whatever he was doing. For those who don't know, Hugh Freeze had back surgery. So it's not like he has, some life-threatening something. He had back surgery.
That cells.
You're just laid up. Mm-hmm. Is this tough? Yeah, it is tough, because that's not something most people would want to do.
True. Especially after you lose 24-0, I might say I'll take a pass. I'll be on the sidelines, but I'm good to go. You go handle this.
The pain meds are clouding his decision.
Man. He probably thinks they won 24-0.
Yeah, you're right.
All right. Serena,
did that work?
Serena makes a record 10th U.S. Open final, but has lost her last three finals appearances in an attempt to tie Margaret Court's Grand Slam record. Here's another dumb question. Does Serena need this one?
No, she doesn't need it, but do we want to see it? Yeah. She keeps getting to the finals, and we talked about this briefly when she lost her last, I think it was the French Open, her last Grand Slam final, because she doesn't play a lot, right? And so she plays in these major events because she's Serena, and she can do that, and she doesn't have to be ranked high in order to get to the finals. So she always gets to the finals, and she breezes through like the semis like she did yesterday. I think she won in like 44 minutes or something like that. But by the time she gets to the other side of the bracket, which is the best talent on the other side of the bracket, she hasn't played enough. You know what I mean?
She doesn't need this at all,
but I'd like to see her win one of these, because she keeps getting to the finals and keeps losing.
I don't care if she, on every backhand, she actually swings and misses en route to losing straight sets and getting shut out.
Yeah.
It will not change her legacy.
No, never.
So, no, she does not need
it. And she's playing a 19-year-old. I don't remember what the girl's name is. I can't even say it if I could.
Mm-hmm.
So she should beat this girl.
By the way, if you're watching this here on, of course, the Simulcast, the video you saw courtesy USTA and ESPN.
USTA.
Time's up. The blast is over for another day.
I went to opening day with the USTA
I know you did.
Foundation. They raised $1.2 million for... their tennis programs around
That's
the country.
Great.
There's one stadium here in New York which they're trying to rehab that actually bears the name of this the center out in Queens, the Arthur Ashe courts. So, I mean, they do a ton of work. It's kind of under the radar.
You don't hear much about it.
You don't hear much about it, but it's highly supported. I saw David Dinkins was there and Katie Couric.
Oh, David Dinkins loved tennis.
Yeah.
He played more tennis than he actually did stuff while he was a mayor.
My UVA grad friend, Alec Baldwin, was there.
Okay.
Maxwell. So I saw a bunch of people at the gala that they had on opening night. So it was cool. They raised a ton of money. The U.S. Tennis, USTA Foundation did a great job. And they've been doing it for a long time.
You don't hear much. You hear about, like, RBI. You hear about the first tee program for golf. You don't hear much about the tennis grassroots program to bring the game to the, not just the inner city, but just to promote the game in general, which is a great thing. All right, T, before we start wrapping things up, I posed the question before. Now we'll both get a chance to answer it. Either a player or, again, it's week one. We're not going to go nuts. There's no must wins. But under the spectrum of the lights of week one and the attention positive or bad performances will receive, which player or team are you looking at that needs a quick start or however you want to frame it?
Well, you know I'm biased, and I'm this Giants-Cowboys game happens every single year, it seems like, on week one in Dallas at AT&T Stadium. But this is a big one, I think, for the Cowboys. I mean, obviously for the Giants as well, because it's year two with Pat Shurmur, and Eli is we don't know what he's going to be. He could be vastly improved because offensive line is so much better. Saquon is the man. Sterling Shepard hadn't played all preseason, but he now has to be the man in that receiving core, especially because Golden Tate is out. But it's really the story is the home team here. The Dallas Cowboys signed Zeke Elliott. They signed a bunch of other guys to long-term deals. So they're gearing them, even though there's short guarantees, long-term deals, short guarantees. So you can see them crafting like this window for themselves. We always talk about championship viability in terms of windows. The Cowboys are crafting this window that they've just kind of opened. It's about 3 years big. And if they come and lay an egg against the Giants, who are thought to be low, even though I think they're going to be better than people think, I think BT has started to come that way as well. The Cowboys have a lot of pressure to play a great game, especially that they got Zeke here. If Zeke wasn't there, and you say, well, yeah, they're missing Zeke, and so that's what caused their struggles for Dak Prescott or whatever the story may have been, it's different. But Zeke's here, and Zeke is ready. Zeke looks like he's in shape, and you got to expect the Cowboys to come play well. I think the Giants, interestingly, if I would have picked this one in my six-pack of picks, I would have had them cover it.
What's the number again?
Seven.
Six and a half. So you would have the Giants covering it. I probably wouldn't touch it, but I wouldn't be surprised if the Giants hang around and cover that game.
Yep.
All right, before I give you mine real quick, so as the former Giant, give me the predicted, and I'll do the same for my Jets. Your predicted finish record for the Giants.
The Giants?
Mm-hmm.
I think they're 8-8 or 9-7.
Okay. I would go 6-10, probably more 7-9. For my Jets, I pretty much said 9-7 all summer, so I'll stick with that. All right. I think the 49ers need a pretty decent showing this weekend.
Jimmy Garoppolo definitely needs a pretty good showing.
And by extension, he is the 49ers based on what they bestowed upon him when they lavished him with that contract, despite really not having proven a ton. Now, they've got to travel. Now, I don't think it's an issue for the Rams, who have proven that they can win on the road and handle the big state. So going 3,000 miles from L.A. to Carolina, roughly 3,000, that's not daunting to me. But it is a little more daunting for the 49ers, who are trying to learn how to win, for quarterbacks who are trying to learn how to trust his body again, in a stadium that's going to have a little renewed juice because Bruce Arians is energetic and he's riling up those Buck fans in Tampa. I wouldn't be surprised if Jameis comes out and plays well. They have some good receivers. They have drafted a couple of interesting defensive players. I don't know who's going to win this game. I think it's going to be fun and tight, but Garoppolo needs to play pretty well.
This is more, I look at this one more from a Tampa Bay standpoint. Like, what does Jameis look like? Now, yeah, they have some good young players in San Francisco, but they're not nearly ready to be contenders. So, but Tampa, and I told you when you asked me this 2 days ago, one of the toughest divisions for me to pick when we did our season preview was the South, because I believe in Bruce Arians' ability to turn around a quarterback. And Jameis has all the talent in the world. It's the decision making, and whether he tries to do too much. This is, to me, it's an interesting game, but it's more about the Bucs.
I could see why you would flip it that way
than it is the San Francisco 49ers,
because
they're at home hosting a team that they should beat, even though they're only a point favorite.
That's a flip 'em game.
It is.
You know what? I like the over there. I could see a lot of points in that game.
50, yeah, I could see some points. I could as well.
You know,
even though the Bucks defense, it could be better than it has been in the past. We'll see.
Yep. All right.
Interesting. Lots of good stuff happening this weekend.
Our first Football Friday comes to an end. Just a quick heads up. Sunday morning here on the network, CBS Sports Network Tops. We're back for season number 7 from 8 to noon. It'll lead you right into the NFL today on CBS nationally. Teak, have a great run tomorrow. Enjoy soccer.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Fifth Avenue Mile, too, by the way. You're a road runner.
All right.
Fifth Avenue Media Mile.
How many miles you running tomorrow morning?
18.
Enjoy football. Peace!
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.